Pray. God of love, let us not tarrying in finding your vision for us, and when it comes in our patient waiting and discernment, may we make it plain on tablets so that even a runner may read it. In your name we pray. Amen. So, let's see, a few months ago, we as a congregation met with Felix Villanueva, who is a renewal coach, and who is also the conference minister for the Southern California Nevada Conference. And he and our conversation with him, which took place in the fireside room, and I know not everyone was able to be there, which is one of the reasons we're sort of revisiting that theme today a little bit. But one of the things that he showed was this wonderful little video about finding our why, which is finding our purpose. Because part of any renewal process is to identify what our purpose is, to know what it is clearly, to hold it before us, and then to make it plain, to write it on tablets, and to enact it in the world so that even a runner may see our vision and notice that we are living out our purpose, and so that we build it into the very bones and the roots of what we are doing. And remembering that not all of you got to see that little video, I queued it up today, and if Ken is ready, he will play it for us. Ken is always ready. Let me tell you, Ken totally helped save us today.
How do I know? A lot of people, when they think of the phrase, how do I know, they always want to put the what behind it. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? The question that you really should ask is, how do I know why I'm here? Because when you know your why, your what becomes more clear and more impactful. If you know, like for instance, people know that I do comedy, but that's what I do. My why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. So I can do comedy, I can write books, I can be in a movie, because all of it is motivated by my why. In fact, I have a new web series out called Michael Jr. Break Time. We probably just did the 6th episode. It's on YouTube. So every single Wednesday at 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode on YouTube of Michael Jr. Break Time. What it is it's me. I travel around the country, and I do stand-up comedy, in case you didn't know. And in the middle of my comedy set sometime, I'll stop and just talk to my audience. And we've been filming this, and it's pretty cool. So we're in Winston-Salem. I'm going to show you a clip from Winston-Salem. And I'm just talking to this guy in the audience, and he tells me that he's a musical instructor at a school. So I was like, all right, you're a musical instructor. You know, can you sing? Let me hear you sing a song. So this is what happened at the last episode of Michael Jr.'s Break Time. Check it. So you're a musical director.
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of, like, Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow.
That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if, your uncle just got out of jail. You got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick. If you know which version I'm talking about, just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that
see. Now, that's real thing. Okay. Here's what I want you to catch. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what becomes more impactful because you're walking towards or in your purpose.
Cool, huh? So did that kind of make sense? I heard a lot of like getting it sounds there. And so I really love how he concludes where when you understand your why, you're walking in your purpose, the what sort of becomes automatic because you're answering the why part of that. And so that is part of the work that we're going to be doing. So when a congregation decides to engage in an intentional renewal process, it actually, to work best, is best when it is led by the congregation. Because it is only by coming to consensus about what it is we want to do and how we want to do it, and obviously most importantly, why we're doing it, that we can move forward together. So doing it in a, you know, building consensus as we do this together is really critical. And something that Larry, our moderator, is going to lead and help facilitate the talk back after worship to help kickstart this. But some of the things that he's going to be bringing up are just some of the challenges that Campbell UCC are facing. And so as we discover our why, our purpose, and figuring out how we want to focus our attention and our resources, there's just some stuff, some problems, some challenges we need to solve. So for example, one of the things, you know, we're very blessed in our congregation in the sense that we are able to raise funds from being able to rent our space. And that is such a great gift. And even so, even with that largesse and that abundance, if you look down into the future, it's not enough to really sustain us. We can't sustain a full-time pastor and maintain our buildings to the extent that they need to be extended based on that income alone. And so that's one of the challenges we need to figure out. So what options then are before us? How do we want to do that? There are all kinds of ways. For example, Urban Sanctuary in San Jose, Lauren, where Lauren was ordained, they decided that their pastor, for example, is bivocational. That pastor helps to run and lead and manage a cafe for homeless folks where they work and they do rehab, and then serves the congregation as well. So that's one model. There are other models. Some congregations decide that they do a tremendous outreach and go out in the community and do all kinds of social engagement. And sometimes that is one way of really building numbers, building commitment, and sometimes a way of raising money, sometimes through grants, sometimes through establishing a separate nonprofit. Another way people do it is one very successful church down in L.A., UCC Church. The congregation decided to help seed a young ministry where they brought in 20 and 30-somethings. And that ministry, they had a pastor who helped walk the older congregation and led them and helped and supported them, but also helped support another pastor. I knew him. He was in his early 30s at the time to establish a young adult and family ministry. So there are all kinds of ways to do this, but do we know how we want to do it yet? Or even what we want to do as we do it? And then as we solve these challenges before us, how do we keep our why in front of us too? So we have to do two things as we engage. We have to decide, for example, which has been talked about before, do we as a congregation want to hold steady or potentially dwindle, moving toward a part-time pastor so that the buildings can be properly maintained, which is, you know, essential. It's very important to this congregation. Or do we want to find other ways of establishing a ministry that helps with community outreach that can possibly lead to a sustainable future for Campbell UCC, where there continue to be people involved in ministry and embodying Christ in the world? My sense is that that's where people are. And so those are the conversations that I've heard, and now the year that I've traveled with you, it's been very clear that people want to try to renew. So that's where we're going to be focusing our attention, and we're going to be talking together about how and why we're doing this. And that's why the first Sunday of every month, we as a congregation will be devoted to this task. During our first talk back after worship today, Larry will be putting a call out for people who'd like to serve on the Renewal Task Force. So we're looking for about 10 people, 5 of whom will be council members, and 5 of whom will be whoever wants to volunteer. So if this is a ministry that you feel really inspired by, if you are thinking in your heart, it's like, wow, I really want to see Campbell to continue to exist in the future, and I want to be part of the creative solutions and the creative community building and really dream and help our congregation find what that is, this is perfect for you. And so Larry will help fill us in more on that, but this is sort of the crux of the matter. So now that I've laid it out for you, and we're following Habakkuk, and we're looking for our why, and we're going to make our vision plain on tablets so we all know what it is and why we're doing it. Any questions for now? We'll have more time and talk back, but let's identify what's coming up for people so we know where to go afterwards. Oh, Terry, sorry. What happens? Exactly.
The what?
Exactly. We determine
the when,
and we decide what action steps and the where. And usually what happens is this, there's some song out there, I think. There's a thing called the flight of the bumblebee. There's a phrase. Maybe it's just my Irishness coming up. But renewal tends to be a little bit like the flight of the bumblebee. Where we identify our what and our why, and we strive to live into that purpose, and our little bumblebee will go land on one particular flower. And it may happen that there isn't enough nectar and pollen in that flower to really get us where we want to go, so we try another one. But it is in doing that we use our why to guide our choices. It's like, okay, this is what we're really passionate about. We really care about this. Even if we utterly fail at this, we still feel like it's going to be worthwhile, and we try it. And if we fail, we go and try something else until we figure out something. And it is true, sometimes even with the best intentions, with the hardest work, no matter what we do, sometimes congregations still can't quite get there. And then the shift changes, and we start talking more openly about what closure might mean, what it means to let this go, so that something new can take its place. However, we're not there yet. We are in a very stable place right now. We certainly have adequate resources to try some super creative thing. And I certainly have hope that we will find a way. We may not know the why, the what, and the when, and the how quite yet. But that's why we're talking about it, so we can figure those things out. Did that kind of answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, yay. Success. Other questions? Burning questions. No, nothing burning? All right.
I think we need to experience the why thing first.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
or talk about the why, what it is, why we're doing what we're doing. Cool, so we'll focus on that. There are lots of little steps we'll need to take. So, for instance, putting together a task force is part of finding our why. Committing to showing up on the first Sunday to be part of the conversations is part of that. And it's really scary to step out and take a risk and be like, we're not sure where we're going, but that is in the essence of discernment. Where you put your foot out and you take a step and you're not quite sure where the next step will land, but you're committed to the process, and most importantly, we're committed to it together. So as part of that, I did create a renewal covenant. When congregations do this, it is very common that at the beginning, at the official beginning of launching the process by which we do this work together, we come up with like a commitment to the process itself. So I drafted a covenant based on templates that are out there. I added a few words of my own because sometimes I find them a little bit dry and, you know, a little bit not warm. So I tried to warm it up. And if you would just pass this around, that would be fantastic. We'll pass some copies down this way. We're just going to look over it together because I got some really good feedback. Some congregations, they'll actually have each person sign it. And Catherine, so I shared it with council before I shared it with you all. I'm sharing it with you all today. Catherine gave some really great feedback and said, like, I don't know about signing. What if we just all say it together and make the verbal commitment? I'm totally fine with that. The other option was, Tracy recommended that we read it and think about it and talk about it together. The reason why I'm doing it in church is because I find if we give things out and we ask people to come back and give feedback, we kind of rarely get the feedback we need. So we're going to look through this together and we're going to do it right now. And it looks like there's still copies. Any extra copies around? We might have run out. Did I not make enough? Interesting. Oh, no, there's some over here. Fantastic. Lovely. Everybody got a copy? All right. Do you mind if I steal? Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. So we're actually going to take the time. We're going to read through it right now so we all know what is here, and we can talk about it just very quickly right now. Terry, would you read the first paragraph, please? Thank you. Betsy, do you feel like reading? Please, if you would read the next paragraph. Thank you, Betsy. And when we do this next paragraph, I'm going to ask you if you would read the first line. And then if those of you who are comfortable, if you would just read each line after that one at a time. And you can pass. And if you pass, just, you know, bump your neighbor and ask them to take over. Thanks, Angie. Did I make sense? Yeah, if you would read the first sentence on the next one. Beautiful. Thank you, Sandy. And then we might talk about those other activities yet to be imagined in our talk back. Steve and Susan, do you feel comfortable reading this morning? No pressure. Okay, we'll...
If I choose not to participate or engage with the renewal process in any
That's kind of an essential thing to put in there. All right, but Phyllis, are you, or Nancy, do you feel comfortable? No, but we'll pass. Linda. Thanks, Nancy. Amen. Right. All right. And then, so one of the things that happens in renewal, so we've done a little experiment where we worked with worship and we did some changes and we've played a little bit with change and we've worked on our change muscles there. And what is very normal, it doesn't matter how healthy we are as people, the healthy of us, even in the face of any kind of change, will become stressed out. And we'll flip out a little bit. That's super normal. And so when we engage in this kind of process, what we do is we acknowledge that this is inevitable. There will be flipping out. It's going to be super uncomfortable. We'll say things we regret. And then we're going to forgive each other and hold each other in grace. Because this is part of our covenant of doing this together, part of doing this hard work, part of doing living out Jesus' love in the world for each other and for ourselves. And so as part of our commitment, then we have what we call a little behavioral covenant, where we just acknowledge, you know, what's difficult in this process and agree to hold each other within this space. So I can't remember. Jean, do you feel like taking up? No, you're okay. Tracy, are you? Oh, I beg your pardon. So there's a different, the other Jean Bond, right? Yeah, you're beautiful. I knew you'd jump in. Tracy, do you feel comfortable with just the next sentence on the other page? Beautiful, thank you. Beautiful. Catherine, are you comfortable reading? Lovely. Jerry, do you feel comfortable reading?
I understand that our church stays strong as each person is heard and as we seek the consensus of all our congregants. I will exercise personal patience and encourage helpful processes to work.
That is beautiful. Thank you for reading that one, Jerry. You'll notice that that one is the third one up from the bottom. For those of you who you might not have seen that. And then let's read the, I understand that conflict is a part of life. Is that the one?
No, I
will accept differences. Margaret, if you would read the one that begins, I will accept differences. It's the third one down from the top.
I will accept differences while I...
I will concentrate on issues and problems rather than personalities. I will avoid gossip.
Thank you, Michelle. And then Larry or Ken, would you, either of you, like to read, I will engage in self-reflection?
I will engage in self-reflection and prayer, seeking ways that my presence will serve to the blessing of the church and its people. I will seek God's guidance and grace, listen attentively, and remain open to visions of God's goals. I will encourage prayer at the beginnings of the church meetings and when decisions of the church and its various bodies are made.
Larry, you get to conclude. Amen. Okay, now we've read through the covenant that will bind us together as we do this work together. And are there any concerns? If any emerge, Catherine, did you raise your hand? Yes. All right. Would anyone like to offer another insight on that one, either agreeing or offering disagreeing, offering an alternative interpretation? Faith, go ahead. Correct. It's very important. Debbie. I think
I would agree with what Catherine's saying. I think that if everyone is to have a voice, I mean, I get the, yeah, you don't participate or are not part of it, okay, then you need to be part of it to make those changes and to help, you know, make sure your input is heard so that if you do have a problem with something that's going on, that you're being, you're contributing in that way. But I also, not so sure, want to kind of not listen to complaints that could be very legitimate, too. We've got to work on the communication piece. If you're seeing something that doesn't look like it's going to work, I think it's important that you speak up and you make sure that your voice is heard on things. Because it may be something we haven't considered, whether you're participating in something or not. It may be something we need to hear as part of what we're doing.
So, I do.
Sorry,
I saw other hands. Beautiful. I saw a bunch of hands. So I think I might have seen Mary's, and then I think I saw Cindy's, and then I think I saw Jean's. So let's go in that order. Mary, let's. Beautiful. So I'm just going to ask people, if you can keep your feedback succinct, what we're modeling right now is the process by which we're going to keep this moving forward. We're modeling consensus building here. And so this is why we're taking the time to do this in this moment and to hear what people have to offer. So Sandy and then Jean, and then I saw a hand over here. I saw Rusty and Angie, I think. So Sandy, go ahead.
Person
Understood. Jean, I see a bunch of hands. Jean, Rusty, Annie, Angie, and Terry.
I agree with Sandy. I'd like to build on that because I think the word complain, it's an intense word. I think it was chosen purposefully because there's, to me, a very big difference between feedback offered in good faith, not like, this is inaccessible, this didn't consider this perspective. That's valuable feedback, even if it might be negative feedback. I think that the word complain denotes you kind of sit back, let other people do the work, and then once it's all said and done, then you find fault with it, nitpick, or go behind the backs of the people that were working. So I think that complain was chosen to say, if to create a line between people who want to participate in good faith and make sure that their voice is heard, even if it might not agree with everybody on the committee, and somebody who, due to habit or due to where they're at in their life, just might need something to nitpick about or to complain about, because that can happen from time to time. So if you're offering any feedback, to me that is participating.
Amen. So I say amen to that. I see Catherine. We're going to continue, and then we'll come back to you, Catherine, because you raised the concern. Rusty, Annie, Angie, and Terry, and then you, Catherine. Oh, Tracy, I beg your pardon. Is it okay if I go to Tracy before you, since she's right there, and then I can follow where you are? We'll flow. We'll go with the flow, Tracy. Cool.
I don't want anyone to feel like they're out of the room.
Beautiful. Well said. So Rusty, Annie, Angie. Go ahead, Rusty.
Okay, I'd like to start by saying this is a fantastic discussion, right? And I really appreciate everything that everyone's put in. My point of view is just a little bit different. This is unenforceable. People are going to complain if they don't, it doesn't matter. So...
All right, cool. All right. Go ahead, Annie.
I agree with Jean 100%.
Okay. So, all right.
Difference between feedback and complaint.
Got it, cool. Angie.
Well, and again, tagging on to Jean. Maybe it's the word complaint, obviously, that's an irritant to everyone. So maybe just changing that word that, you know, disagree or, you know, another way of putting it.
Another way of putting it, maybe.
No. Okay, well, what's
that
thought?
Yeah. I mean, we could try wordsmithing. We won't do it right now, but that's certainly an option.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, I think I agree with Rusty. The right to complain is something that people will assume whether they are given it or not. Mm-hmm. I would certainly word it differently, and if you will allow me, I would say, I realize my complaints may have less impact on future outcomes.
Interesting. I'm going to write it down just so I have a record of it. A lesser impact on future outcomes. On future outcomes. All right. Okay, I'm going to do Ruth and then Catherine, and then I'm going to offer something. So, Ruth, go ahead. Agreed.
If that were allowed, then people would feel more included.
Absolutely. And it's very important. I just want to point out that the reason why prayer is on there is that sometimes people truly do not have the time or energy to commit anything besides a few words of prayer just when they think of it during a day. And that is participating. And that is, for me, that merits more than enough participation, right? Ideally, there are other ways that more people can participate, but that still qualifies. And then, Catherine, I'm going to come back to you, and then... Agreed.
And that the wording of this is saying that you don't get a voice, and that I end up.
Beautiful. So what I'm hearing is that. Oh, yeah, Linda, I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to come back.
The last 7 years of being in this congregation, I just noticed that if people don't say what they want or don't agree, they just leave. Mm-hmm. So that's sending people to God.
So what Linda raises is brings up again the importance of why we do this process and why we're having this conversation in this moment. So when someone who has longevity in a congregation like 70 years says that she or he or they have observed a pattern, it is almost guaranteed, pretty much 99.9% guaranteed that that pattern will continue, whatever the pattern the congregation has, whether we intend for it to continue or not. So we can assume at the outset of this process that those folks who don't participate and don't speak up when those opportunities emerge will quietly vanish afterwards. So that is an almost guaranteed outcome based on the feedback and the observation of someone who I feel has the authority. I'm new, right? But I feel Linda has the authority to make that statement because of her longevity here and her obvious participation in the life of the congregation throughout Linda's time. So I'm going to just state that at the outset. So how would this congregation, and I'm going to touch on it, I'm going to highlight it, and I'm going to say this is why we need to come back and continue to have these first Sunday conversations. So the thing I'm going to touch on is how would you as a congregation like to hold each other accountable as we make these decisions? And hold each other accountable to really committing to the work we're doing together. All right.
Well, one of the things that makes sense, instead of wording that as well, kind of if you don't like what's happening, you haven't been part of it, don't complain. Maybe we encourage anybody to be part of the process by offering feedback and input and try to avoid
got it.
Amen.
So we're gonna have this facilitated. So we're gonna avoid this direct, so that everybody. But we're gonna come back, okay? And I'm gonna start wrapping it up because time is limited. All right. So Jerry, you get to say something. Catherine got to raise it. So Jerry or Catherine, you got to. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I saw Jerry's hand up, that's why we're making sure that we keep space. Okay.
I believe that particular phrase is pejorative.
Okay.
And that perhaps we should follow in a process where if you see something, say something.
So what I'm hearing, and I'm going to just insert this before Catherine speaks, what I'm hearing, you know, in the life of a congregation, there are always opportunities for feedback. And I don't know what systems have been in place in the past. And Linda and I and others could sit down and talk about that. But what I'm hearing is, based on Linda's feedback, and Linda can correct me if I'm misinterpreting, is that even when those opportunities are presented, people don't speak up and then vanish. Did I hear you correctly, Linda? And so, or do you feel that there weren't sufficient opportunities for feedback in your experience here? Okay. Got it. Uh-huh. Got it. Right. Obviously, yeah. All right. I'm gonna let Catherine say, and then we're gonna do action. We will.
Sorry.
Yep.
You know, the word to express. You're going to orally say something that you don't agree with or whatever. Well, let's give people an option. We've done this in the past, certainly in congregational meetings, perfect example. Instead of having to say something out loud and feeling like, you know, you're going to be so judged, give people an option of putting their opinion on paper.
Absolutely.
And turning it in. I mean, that is totally legit. We've done it for a number of different things. And I think it allows that person to feel they are contributing, even though they don't want to be ostracized by verbally saying what it is they're opposed to. And then, you know, whatever that is, gets discussed at the next grouping, you know.
Beautiful. Thank you, Angie. And I see some urgency in Tracy's expression, and then we're going to let Catherine speak if she wants to, and then we'll wrap it up. Go ahead. Beautiful.
Hold each other accountable. It's not by saying negative things like, well, if you're not with me, you're against me. No.
Beautiful.
Hold each other accountable by saying, this is what we all agreed on. This is where we're headed. This is our why. So now let's all reach our why together and help me help you reach the why.
I loved that. We'll try to articulate that somehow. Catherine, did you want to wrap up? Absolutely.
I don't ask me to relinquish my rights.
Amen. So we as a congregation will not ask you to relinquish your rights, or that would feel alienating in this setting. Got it. All right, so I just want to acknowledge, when we say something should feel that way to everyone, what is that communicating? Agreed. So I'm going to just point out, because it's very important in this process, that we not impose our needs and what we're stating on the congregation, right? We're going to be really, really, really focused on I statements during this setting. So Catherine, I just want to make, in that moment, I'm just going to reflect back. There was, this should be what everybody feels, was not, it was maybe an awkward wording, but it was there. So I'm just very gently. Right. And then you, yeah, go ahead. Right, you don't, and you don't want to. And then I heard just that others in the congregation should feel this way too. Okay. Perfect. Beautiful. That was crisp, and that was clear, and that is what we're aiming for. So that we know exactly what we're saying and what we're asking for moment to moment. Because this is going to be really hard work. We want to be absolutely sure that we're understanding each other and that we know where we're going and why we're going there as individuals and together. So I am going to table this. I'm going to, Tracy, I know your plate is really full. And I'm just wondering if you have time, if you would like to take a stab at articulating what you did in a way that we could put in here. Would that, you'd have time? So I'm just going to get it. We're going to do a little consensus check. In a real meeting, when we are building consensus, we have enough time, and it's not quite as sloppy as we did just now, but we're going to just do, my sense is that overridingly there is a desire to not have that sentence in our covenant with each other. That's the, all right. Does anyone strongly feel that they have to have that sentence in our covenant? No. Right, when they're linked. So we're just dealing with the first sentence right now. So no, I'm not hearing that. So is there a general consensus that we, if we invite Tracy to sort of articulate what she just said, and we put it in our covenant for each other, kind of capturing that sentiment, will that help us move forward as a group, knowing that we will hold each other accountable to our ultimate goals and vision, step by step? All right, so... Yep.
But we're going to have those conflicts about the what.
We are going to have conflicts about what?
That's the part that is the messy part in my mind. It's like if we can all kind of come together on consensus for the why, that's almost the easy part in some ways I see. We want to spread God's love. We want social justice. We want those why.
And the how.
How we do it and the what is that's where the sticky wicket comes in. And just
amen. Amen. So I'm hearing Debbie really understand that this is going to be messy. How many of you are getting the sense that this is going to be messy? All right, beautiful. We have achieved our goal for the day. All right. And on that note, I'm just going to invite Tracy to come up with, to generate that wording. I'll put it in the covenant. And we'll revisit this covenant maybe on the first day of December. Or we could wait until the new year. Do you want to make it a New Year's thing? I beg your pardon?
Sooner than later.
Oh, how are people feeling? All right. On this one, because it's not like an emotional thing, how many want to do it in the new year? Okay. How many people really want to do it in November or December? All right. So, Mark, I hate that we unvoted you just now, but we're going to revisit the covenant in the new year. That will give us enough time to really see what the nitty-gritty is, and then we'll have a real covenant when we come back. All right, one last comment.
I think that we should touch on it at least before the end of the year.
Beautiful.
So that it doesn't evaporate into the ether and forget about what we talked about today. That's the reason why.
Magic.
More appropriate to address it sometime in November.
That's a fantastic feedback. So what I'm going to... Amen. I beg your pardon? Amen. So what, right. Well, maybe we'll do it the second Sunday because a lot of folks like that first, right. We'll do it in, we'll figure out how we're going to do January and when we're going to do January. We'll do it then as part of our New Year covenant. What I can commit to is if Tracy's willing and able to get the language to me, say, before our December 1st, we'll revisit it at the beginning of Advent as we begin our Advent journey. We'll just touch on it lightly. Here's the new thing. I'll let you take it home then, pray on it, and then we come back. We'll make it the way we want it. How's that? Yes.
We actually agreed.
Yes, we did, right? That was fantastic. And I just want to say, if we can do this now, in this space, during worship, we can do it again. And we will keep doing it. So, amen. We all deserve a round. Okay, I'm the only one clapping. Come on, people. Good job. That was definitely my applause for you. But it is applause for each other. You hung in there. You made it work. You really listened to each other. Good work. Good work. And now I believe we are ready for an anthem. Amen.